Thank you, Steve. I'd like to see Illinois State win the NIT. A lot of folks wanted them to be in the NCAA tournament, me included. That didn't happen, so go in the NIT and tell them that they were wrong. That's the only consolation prize you can have. It's 210 on WGN. Hi, it's John Williams. The sun is shining on Michigan Avenue. I hope it is where you are, too. Might not be if you work for the National Endowment of Arts, the EPA, the Department of State Labor Agriculture, all of those. You saw the the headline in the USA Today, the big losers. And then the winners are Defense, Homeland Security, Veterans Affairs, the SBA.
I mean, that's right. If you had to play pin the tail on the donkey and what you would expect, you know, what Donald Trump campaigned on, that's it.
In our Mincing Rascals podcast we recorded today and that we'll be putting up, we had a pretty vigorous discussion about this. And in principle, are people, you know, supporting this? Is he doing the will of the people by virtue of the election or not? We reached out to Andy Field, the ABC News reporter in Washington, to talk a little bit about the president's budget proposal. Hi, Andy. You're on WGN.
Well, always good to be on in Chicago. How are you guys?
And we're doing well. So if you're in D.C., you didn't get as much snow as you thought, but a few inches, huh?
Well, no one ever gets as much as Chicago. I lived in Green Bay for 3 years, so we would come down to Chicago to see a little less snow.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, even less, I guess, in D.C. Now, talk to me about this budget. Were people surprised by the sort of pitch that the president is making, or is this what everybody thought it was going to be?
Well, there are a lot of things that contradict what he said during the campaign. Let's first of all start with health care. He talked about the fact that he wants health care for everyone. He's not going to cut Medicaid. He's not going to cut Medicare. That is not what's in the health care budget and not what the Congressional Budget Office says will happen, that older, sicker people are going to be kicked to the curb when it comes to being able to afford either insurance or paying their medical bills. So even though that's not this budget, that's part of the spending programs that are going to be happening over the next year or so here.
Yeah.
When it comes to the budget, you mentioned the National Endowment of the Arts, and pretty much he's nuking that department, basically kicking Bert and Ernie and all of Sesame Street to the curb. Local theaters, that especially in Chicago, that rely on this here, the thriving theater community there, arts projects, all of these things will no longer get money from the federal government if he gets his way and basically kills this program.
And I think advocates for his proposal are saying that's okay because that will only encourage people to make private charitable donations to the arts. For instance, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting doesn't really depend on federal money anyway. And if we take it away from the government but put it more in the hands of the people, maybe that's where the arts should be.
Well, it already is. There are a lot of foundations and private donations there. But the government, and this is a tiny sliver of the government program, $300 million. There are estimates of what it cost President Obama just to go down to Mar-a-Lago every week. And if he continues the pace that he's at right now, that would have paid for all of the National Arts Endowment there. But they need that money. I mean, the budgets are really, really thin. If you talk to your local PBS station in terms of how they stay on the air, the budgets are really, really tight, and they can't afford to lose this money.
Well, just to that point then, Andy, do you think that the president's gutting of NEA or asking the Congress to is in principle? That is, he knows it's not a lot of money, but he's just making a statement here?
It's really hard to read the president's mind because he puts a lot of things in quotes. When he's tweeting things, he said he was wiretapped, and then later on he goes, well, I put that in quotes. I didn't really mean I was wiretapped.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So it's very hard to discern what he means because we have his spokespeople coming out every day going, no, that's not what the president meant. This is what he meant.
Whatever. Let's go to the other side of the equation, though. Defense spending would go up 10%. Can you talk a little bit about that? How is that going to happen? What is that going to mean?
Well, even the Defense Department doesn't know where that money is going to go, other than some jets that the president has talked about here. And there are some hawks in Congress, including Senator John McCain, who goes, it's not even enough. They need to add even more. But if you're spending all your money on defense, on Veterans Affairs and Homeland Security, you are defending a country that is significantly poorer in terms of helping its own people. And the cuts across the board, almost a third of the Environmental Protection Agency, almost a third of the State Department will be cut, a fifth of the Agriculture Department, a fifth of the Labor Department. These are enormous cuts. And we've never seen cuts like this before, and it's not likely that it's going to get through the House and Senate because there are a number of Republicans. Let's say, for example, even the Transportation Department, where there's going to be another big cut here, 13% cut. Amtrak that goes across country, long lines that go from Washington, D.C. through Chicago across the country, money for that would be cut. So the trains that people like to go from Chicago to other places, they may not exist anymore because the money won't be there to subsidize them.
Is it possible, though, that, I mean, every characterization I've heard of the president's budget, and I'm not speaking about you, Andy, but more analyses that I'm reading online and in newspapers, are pretty negative about this. Oh, my God, you know, the NEA is going to go and the EPA is going to be gutted, et cetera, and we're spending more on defense than we need. That's sort of the rhetoric of it generally. But Donald Trump won campaigning on things like this, strong defense and shoring up our borders, more money for Homeland Security. I suspect there are plenty of people looking at this and saying, hooray, this is exactly what we wanted.
Well, there's certainly a number of Republicans in the House and the Senate who are saying that, but when it comes down to people's own pocketbooks, when they find out that their local waters are polluted or their air is more polluted or the agriculture subsidies that farmers in rural Illinois, for example, count on are no longer there, they may start to get pretty angry, and they're the folks that voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah, I've kind of wondered about that. I think if you go back to the health care conversation, the red states use more health care from Obama than the blue states. And you'd think if some of these things actually, you know, get enacted, they're going to feel the pinch maybe more than they knew as a result of having voted for Donald Trump. I'm not sure, though, that people looking at any of these things, health care or defense spending or less spending on the environment, I'm still not sure that, to be honest with you, Andy, I don't know how people feel about that.
Well, I'm not sure that, you know, it hasn't been out long enough for people to do a survey. One of the things that's very interesting is that the president campaigned on being the president who is going to, quote, eliminate disease. He goes, we're going to have research programs to do that. They are gutting programs at National Institutes of Health, which is the primary research arm for finding cures for diseases. And they fund other doctors and researchers around the world and around the U.S. to find these cures. You know, we remember Ebola from a couple of years ago, and everyone was terrified that we were all going to die of Ebola. If it wasn't for research at NIH and for the Centers for Disease Control in terms of having antiviral methods, they would not have saved a couple of the people who did survive being exposed to Ebola. And you notice that the only people that survived were the ones who lived here in the U.S. and had access to that care and that research, not the poor people who got the disease and that virus in Africa.
How does this work, Andy? The president issues a budget proposal, and then Congress has to vote on it? I mean, I wonder exactly what the machinations are of all of that.
Well, typically the president presents the budget to the House, and all the spending bills originate in the House. The House can either accept it, they can reject it, they come up with their own. Typically, for the last 8 years, every time President Obama issued a budget, the chorus from the Capitol, especially the Republicans in charge, were dead on arrival.
Yeah.
Well, now you're hearing the same thing, not only from Democrats, but some Republicans as well.
So how does that go then? I mean, so then the president says, this is what I want. And they say, well, we're not going to do that. So then they'll kick it around and generate their own version of this. This is maybe, is this the sort of the blueprint from which they at least work?
It's absolutely the blueprint they work from, but I can pretty much guarantee you that some of these draconian cuts will not make it through the sausage machine on Capitol Hill by the end of this year.
Yeah. Well, I guess it goes back to my question earlier, too. Don't you suppose the president knows that, and he's just sending a message? He's like telling the base, I told you I'd be for defense. I told you I'd be for Homeland Security. I told you we wouldn't fund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but the Congress went ahead and did it anyway.
Well, that's a possibility, but here's the problem, and this is the thing that's a bit troublesome, that when you see President Trump going to these campaign-style rallies that don't seem to do anything but massage his ego, which is what he was doing in Nashville yesterday.
Yeah, he was in Tennessee.
Where a bunch of supporters were there. He's not running for office anymore. He's actually governing now. And governing requires an extraordinary amount of compromise. And it's looking out not just for the people who voted for you, but for all of the people in the United States. And the question is here, is that going to happen, or is he simply going to be fulfilling campaign promises to the folks that voted for him? When it comes to the popular vote, 3 million fewer people than voted for his opponent.
Can you just comment on this, and then I'll let you go, Andy? And that is, my understanding is the way the budget was put together was that his team sort of culled through his speeches and previous remarks and then sort of divined what his intent was, and then they built this budget around it. Is that sort of the way it went?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, but his budget director actually is speaking right now at the White House, probably answering some of those questions because we haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. But that certainly is a possibility. But other administrations have had a lot of people in place to do these things, not only once they get into office, but before they get into office. President Trump seems to be unique in this situation where those staffs are pretty thin, and there's just a very small group of people at the top that seem to be making these decisions.
Well, then we'll catch up again soon. Andy, thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
Andy Field, ABC News in Washington. Yeah, we were going to visit with one of his colleagues. She was in the White House press briefing room. Sean Spicer's briefing was supposed to be over by now. She would have been able to join us. But that either got a late start or it's been going long. But, you know, let me just throw this out at you, and you can give us a call. And that is, let's just take the Corporation for Public Broadcasting again. It's something that we talked about in the Mincing Rascals podcast. If you say government is too big, and you do, and then you're going to make cuts, then somebody's ox is going to get gored. And so while you might not like the look of this front page of the Sun-Times, USA Today, or Tribune today, that's what's going to happen. You can't say we want cuts and then cry when cuts start to happen. Now it's just, okay, well, who gets cut how much and what do you fund maybe a little bit more? This is what the president wants. I wonder what you think about that. My number is 312-981-7200.